I thought 2 feet meant it could be any 2 feet. Did you learn something tonight?
I feel like every once in a while there's a catch that causes everybody in the world to reevaluate what a catch. The Dez Bryant playoff one. This George Pickens one is it. Like, if you get one foot down than a hand, 1 foot down than an elbow.
2 feet.
But if you get the same foot down twice,
right, yeah.
Like, I don't know. That, I think everybody would say, looking at that, that looks like a catch. By this logic, you can catch the ball and hop on one leg for 15 steps. Oh, that's not a catch.
Jason Kelce with Scott Van Pelt nails it. 1 foot in one hand equals 2 feet.
But the
one
same.
Foot, same foot twice doesn't.
So weird.
The rule is both feet. But that, again, doesn't apply if you get a hand.
Right.
So to say the rule.
So we already make an exception in one regard.
The rule says both feet, but you actually don't need both feet. You can substitute a hand for a foot. You can substitute an elbow for a foot. You just can't substitute the same foot for the other foot in the NFL.
Seems dumb.
We're having a good time.
Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Nice couple days. A little bit of rain coming your way today, though.
Yes.
A little bit. Afternoon rain, midday rain, listening to BEN driving in, like lunchtime rain passing through.
Okay.
And then tomorrow, 72, Thursday, 73.
Let's go.
Sunday, between 37 and 56 for Bills Dolphins. It's not bad.
That's pretty good. And then next week, even into the 60s.
Yep.
I think this has been a better fall than we've had in the past, weather-wise. Like, it's still in the 70s into November. Not like, you know, well, I guess how long has it been since we had, like, a big snowstorm in like going into November?
I'm sure we'll have one in, like, a week. Now that you said that.
Uh-huh. Knock on wood.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 803-0550. Sabres lost last night. We'll talk about it with Paul coming up at 7:30, see if he had the same view that Joe and I did, which is generally that they played pretty well. I mean, they made some mistakes, of course, and they need some saves. That's a good team they played against, and, you know, I thought they looked really good in the second period, and generally a pretty good showing against a Florida team, not looking for a moral victory, not looking to get shouted down about standards being low, just, you know, when it was 2-2,
mm-hmm.
That game had tons of juice, and then 3-2, and then 4-2 was even worse. So they lose 5-2. So if you want to give us a thought on that, you're more than welcome to it, 803-0550. Looking back at the Seattle game, Bills Seahawks, I wrote this down. I was going through this because it was Ben Baldwin who made this observation. Ben Baldwin, I think ESPN, you know, you see all the computer cowboy, all the graphs,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the stuff that we like to dig into about the team. And he made a point that I feel like we just skipped over yesterday about Bills and Seahawks, which is that the Bills were routinely behind the sticks in mm-hmm. bad spots. And I pulled up some of the best examples of that. A second and 12, first and 15, two first and 20s,
yeah.
A second and 13, and a second and 15.
Those are all the penalties.
Yeah.
Right?
Penalties or a loss here or there on a run play. But two first and 20s, a first and 15, second and 12, 13, and 15. All of those came on scoring drives. They scored. So this offense, it not only had a good day, it had such a good day that first and 20 was like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Get that.
And which usually is the theory of like how you stop long extended drives.
Right. It's why sacks are drive killers.
Yeah.
You get a team to second and 18, that drive is usually over.
Right.
And for the Bills, that's not the case. In fact, one of the punts they had a fourth and 2 punt. That was third and 15. They got 13 of it back.
That was the Shakir screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They might have extended that one as well. So multiple times in Seattle behind the sticks and getting results. And that to me is when you know you're having yourself a day. I always think back to that game in Denver where they scored like four times on the same drive and the touchdown kept getting called back and they got moved back. And Allen said, we'll just keep scoring, we'll keep scoring. That's when they have a stick your chest out offense. And right now, I know it's only been 2 weeks with Amari Cooper, but since Cooper showed up, aren't we flying high? I mean, he was not a big part of the game in terms of catches
mm-hmm.
the second game. But he has shown up, and coincidence, whatever, probably not, they look like the kind of offense that's going to build a lot of belief in what they're doing.
Yeah, isn't there really... Like, what are we going to talk about for 3 weeks coming up? Like, what is there to do, really, on their offense? They look like they've got the answers now. They look like they have the personnel. Like, what's kind of left? This is a good thing. Like, I don't have a single complaint about what they have in terms of their personnel, who gets used a certain amount. Like, assuming Cooper is going to have more than one catch in a game, which I would. Coleman, the way he looks, and Shakir, just like, I don't have a complaint about this offense the way it looks right now. Even when it comes to like how much they're running the ball. Like, they ran the ball really well against the Seahawks. You wonder what their pass rate was against the Seahawks? It was higher than it was in their previous two games. In fact, actually, it was higher than it was in their previous four games. Second highest pass rate against Seattle of the season. Only Jacksonville was higher.
Yeah, I saw the numbers broken down by week. You
neutral pass rate.
Yeah, you retweeted it.
Yeah.
Like, where's the Bills' run to pass rate versus league average?
Yeah.
Game by game.
You want to guess where they are in the season now? Like, totality of the season?
Where do they
rank in neutral pass rate? How pass happy are they?
Middle of the pack?
They're ninth.
Ninth. Okay, moving up.
They're back into the top 10.
Moving up.
There's a big gap between like the teams right at the top and then like when you get to 7, 8, 9, but they're in the top 10 again.
I wonder how much of that is Josh is not making mistakes. He threw the one pick.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's a little bit more, you know, we can unleash this more and more as we go because we're not getting negative plays.
Yeah.
Because the number of ways that Josh Allen is a cheat code, I mean, it's you can't possibly even oversell it. First off, he doesn't take sacks. He's right. The best in the league at avoiding sacks. Pressure to sack ratio on Allen is terrible.
Right.
You get pressure, he's getting away.
Yeah.
And then there's the not taking a sack, and then there's the turning it into a positive play. Like, those are two different wings of that. Add in, now he's not turning the ball over either. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
You have the cheat code. And, you know, as you tweeted out some stats earlier about Coleman versus Worthy, and how that conversation is really about the quarterback right now. I don't want to fall into the trap, Joe. I don't want to be Wile E. Coyote who falls for the tunnel painted on the rock. You're probably too young for this, which is really tragic.
No.
You know who Wile E. Coyote is?
I know Wile E. Coyote. Those extend beyond generations.
Just making sure.
I mean, what did that come out in the 50s?
Looney Tunes are?
I mean, well, where are you watching Wile E. Coyote right now? YouTube?
No, well, you probably it's probably on a streaming platform all somewhere, right. Or just Cartoon Network still got it.
Which streaming platform is advertising? Like, make sure you get Peacock. We've got Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Well, it's not like that was even your time. When did that cartoon come out? 1940?
I'm about the '40s.
Wile E. Coyote.
It's on multiple streaming platforms.
All right, good.
1949, right, the first appearance.
I guess you were right.
That extends generations.
Well, anyway,
I know.
To finish the point.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall for it again because, you know, whether it's – Howard used to use the phrase, Lucy pulling the football from Charlie Brown. But right now, don't they have to beat the Chiefs? Right now, wouldn't they be favored in Arrowhead?
No, they wouldn't be favored.
You sure? Wouldn't you pick them to win in Arrowhead now?
I would pick them
to win.
I bet you'd get points, though. Would they be favored in Arrowhead? They'd be favored here.
They would definitely be favored here. Wouldn't you pick them to beat the Chiefs? Patrick Mahomes, of all the things we say about McDermott and his defense, if this Bills defense gets got by that Chiefs offense after it happened last year, and they don't have the built-in, well, all of our linebackers were hurt, this defense cannot get beat by that offense right now. Watching these two teams play, at their best, who looks better? I know the Chiefs are unbeaten. At their best, who looks better?
The Bills look better. They're best. Well, this is the thing, though, about the Chiefs right now. How much do I want to do? Well, their defense is not going to let the Bills look like they've looked. The way the Bills' offense looked against Seattle, the way the Bills' offense looked against Miami, the way they looked against Jacksonville, Kansas City's not going to let you look like that. They're going to drag you into a 20-17 football game. Because that's what Spagnuolo is doing right now. That's the strength of their football team. You do want to like point to how they're winning. They are, and like how much more run heavy, you know, the Bills have become under Joe Brady. They have become more. They've gone from like top of the league to ninth. You know, the Chiefs this year, they're 20th. They're 20th. They're running the ball more than Indianapolis, the Chargers.
Yeah.
The Chargers with Greg Roman. The Chiefs are more run happy right now than. Like, they are leaning into their run game.
How much of that is necessity because of all the injuries?
Most of it, is necessity, yeah. So I'm not telling you they would definitely beat the Bills, and I would pick the Bills to beat them. But that's the team right now the peak offensive performance for the Bills right now, maybe their best three are better than the best we've seen from the Chiefs all year long. How would the Chiefs move the ball against the Bills right now? How do we expect they would play them? Wouldn't they try to run it?
Yeah.
They would try to run it. And they would try to get Worthy in those little jet sweep actions out on the edge. They would try to throw it to Kelsey over the middle. Kelsey looks really old right now, by the way.
He does, but he's back. He's back. Since the injury to Rice, he's been getting his targets, and he's...
Has he been efficient on those targets, though?
Yeah. He had a game the other week where it was like four catches for 14 yards.
All right. Yeah, this past week was really good.
Yep.
10 for 90 and a touchdown.
Yep.
I don't think they have a complement of weapons that scares me. Hopkins just got there, though. So by the time they play the Bills, maybe that's a difference in that game.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, they'll play the Chiefs, and we'll see how that game goes. If they beat them, you know, it's funny because the whole year we've been saying, if you beat the Chiefs, no one's going to care about that game. But you brought up something the other day. Like, what if they, like, really beat them? What if the game is...
Oh, yeah, what if they roll them?
What if there's a party that 4:25 afternoon here?
That might be the only way they truly get credit.
Is if they roll them.
Because any other...
Which doesn't really happen to the Chiefs either. Like, we talked about the Bills don't get blown out, neither do the Chiefs. Of course, you got Miami and Indianapolis in between. So,
because if they win a close game against Kansas City, it's going to be fourth year in a row that you did that.
Yep.
Right. Like it's not going to be taken. It's not going to be taken as seriously as you're going to want it to be taken if they beat them. Game is here, so that would seem. It would be fun to be in the stadium though for it, at least, no matter what people are saying about it.
Do you give any credit to the Chiefs' undefeated season idea, George? Texts in, tweets in, that the remaining Chiefs schedule, they're favored in every game except for the Bills game. I've never thought about that game as it's the Bills' chance to stop their unbeaten season. And the Chiefs, even when they are good, last year they lost to the Colts. They always get a bad. Last year they lost to the Raiders twice. They are a team that does trip up and just lose games.
I mean, they kind of almost nearly did it to the Raiders this past week. If they don't get a goal to go stop, I mean, that's a tie football game.
Yeah.
Last year they lost to Denver also. They lost to Denver and they lost to the Raiders. You mentioned they lost to the Colts a couple of years ago. That's when the Colts also were like...
terrible.
Yeah, they were horrible. Yeah, every year. Every year I'm looking right now, like they've kind of got a weird bad loss in there. They got rolled by the Titans the year before. The Titans at least were pretty good that season. I'm not thinking about them going unbeaten. They don't look good enough. They're not. This is not 07 New England where they're just stomping. They're running through everybody, and Brady's just throwing bombs over top to Randy Moss. Like this is not that. They are winning close games every week. Like, your margin of error is slim. Bounces happen. Look, they've won a game by 7, 1, 5, 7, 13, 10, and 7. Like, those bounces are going to go the other way at least one time, two times.
And the Bills have four wins of 20 or more.
Is that right?
Jacksonville, Seattle, Tennessee.
Miami. Did you mention? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Chris Brown had that point yesterday on Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Four wins of 21 or more.
Right.
Leads the league. Johnny in Buffalo. Hey, Johnny, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Just off your point of what a victory over the Chiefs would do for us. And, I'd definitely pick the Bills to beat the Chiefs right now, possibly even roll the Chiefs right now, like you guys are saying. I think it could be a party at Highmark Stadium. I think it'd be a lot of fun. But, you know, what's the national media going to say? What are people going to say? Well, can you get it done in the playoffs? You've beaten the Chiefs in the regular season before. No matter how much you've beaten him by, you're going to get Nick Wright on Twitter just or on his show basically being, wow, the Bills won their Super Bowl this year. And that's what it's going to be until we get it done in the playoffs. And somehow, some way, you know, the Chiefs will still end up with that one seed this year because You know, they have a pretty crappy division. Chargers are okay, I guess. Denver's okay. But they'll still end up with that one seed, and we'll probably have to go to Arrowhead eventually and win there. And it's going to be, hey, look, the Bills are a great regular season team, and it's going to be the same questions asked at the end of the year. Can we get it done in the playoffs? Can McDermott make those game-time decisions in the playoffs? Can we come up with something defensively that's different in the playoffs that kind of limits Mahomes in that offense? Because, yeah, they haven't looked good in the past year and a half in the regular season, and they just something flips come playoff time. And, you know, I'm very optimistic this year, cautiously, as a lot of fans are. But, look, I think we do beat the Chiefs, you know, especially with how the offense is rolling right now. But again, that's all you're going to hear is, hey, Bills won their Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and, you know, that's about it.
Thanks, Johnny. I'm glad you brought up that phrase, because some people will say that, but don't you think we will not think it's anything close to this year's Super Bowl?
That's the thing. Like,
it'll
be mocked as it's their Super Bowl, but nobody around here
will treat it like that. Yeah. That to me, that's big. No one will treat it like that. If they win, it'll be another win. That's great. You know, we've seen this before. It was the last couple of years it's been they needed to slay a dragon, and we know they've done it. So it's almost like it's not their Super Bowl anymore. And one other point is, you know, you see the Chiefs, they're going to get the one seed because their division stinks. Isn't their division better than this one?
Yes. Yes.
The Raiders.
The Chargers and Broncos are like...
The Chargers and Broncos are better than either of the two teams in this division.
They're like the least exciting teams in the league that have winning records, but they do have winning records.
Yeah. The Broncos beat the Jets. I mean, it was on a missed field goal, but...
Yeah, their defenses are really good. It's one of the best... It's honestly, for an entire division, it's one of the best like
top
divisions for defense in the league. So, yeah, it's not bad. They play Tampa, by the way, this week on Monday Night Football.
Could lose to Tampa.
Tampa not having their weapons is really tough, but that, maybe.
That's, yeah.
How important is it that this is a race? How important is it that if the Bills do meet the Chiefs again in the playoffs, which just kind of feels like it's inevitable. It isn't, but it feels like it is. How important is it that it's in Buffalo?
In the playoffs?
Yeah. Because they lost here. They didn't have their linebackers, though. Like, do we care?
Yes.
Do we care if it's...
Yes, we should care.
Arrowhead versus Highmark Stadium? Because then that's a race that I'm going to want to be invested in. And then that's what makes that game
important.
In 3 weeks really important. It's not just for the mentality of it or the meaning of it, the symbolism. It would be, no, you want to beat them here because you want to... If you have a playoff game, you want to have that game here. Or you at least strongly prefer to have it here.
Howard picks the Bills at 8:30. What's the most optimistic Bills fan picking from here on out? How many more losses?
The most optimistic?
The most optimistic Bills fan picks.
Maybe one more loss?
One more?
Yeah.
Detroit?
14-3.
The most
optimistic. You win your two. You have two tough home games, but they're at home. You beat the Niners are broken, or injury-wise. You beat the Niners. You beat the Chiefs. Yeah. You lose to the Lions. That's the most optimistic. 14-3.
That means the Chiefs need to lose to you and two more. And the Ravens also have to lose one more.
I think that's realistic.
For sure.
I think them losing two more is very realistic. They're flirting with it every week.
They should have lost to Cincinnati. They almost lost to Baltimore.
Like, I'm looking. They lost to Denver last year.
Yep.
They could lose that game. They play... You know, late in the year, too, when the weather gets weird, like, what are the odds they play a stupid weather game that just determines a result? They play at Cleveland in December. They play at Pittsburgh in December. They play at Denver in December. That the three games where you could get any one of those. Just, oh, crazy snowstorm, Chiefs lose. I don't want to bank on that. They play the Chargers in Week 14. They could lose that game. I wouldn't pick them to. There's enough games left where I respect what they're playing that... I can see two more losses for the Chiefs. It's going to be tough for them to make up two more games. But if you beat them, then I think you're really live for that. The one seed is still very much in the picture for me.
803-0550, our phone number. Just kind of, you know, throwing it around about the Bills and the Chiefs. It's Miami week.
They made a trade yesterday.
The Chiefs made a trade. I bet the Bills make another one. I would bet that.
You'd bet they make another one?
I bet
one?
The Bills make another trade. Yes.
On the level of Josh Uche yesterday?
I'm not sure, but I would... Yeah.
Myles Garrett.
Who did you see spent 3 hours makeup-wise to walk in as Freddy Krueger to the Browns game on Sunday?
No, that was not Freddy Krueger.
Or who was it?
He was the Terminator.
Thank you, the Terminator.
He was the Terminator.
Yeah. Last year, I think he was Freddy Krueger.
It was an incredible costume.
Yeah. 3 hours of makeup. Was it worth it?
How many sacks did he have?
I don't know.
They won.
When you spend 3 hours with the makeup, shouldn't you play in it? Like, you know, like under the helmet, it's the Terminator.
Oh, now you're talking.
That's what you know, if you're going to dress up as whatever, if you're going to do the effort for the makeup, you got to play. You got to play in it.
What's the NFL policy on playing as the Terminator? As long as you have a helmet on, are you allowed to wear a mask?
That's a good question. You feel like they'd block it on some level?
Maybe. 803-0550. Paul Hamilton, when we return, as we chat about the Sabres game last night, take your calls on the Bills as well, and keep rolling. Seth Appert, Sabres assistant coach, joining us at the top of the hour as we go behind the bench, our Tuesday series, mostly Lindy, some assistant coaches, some players along the way. This week we'll get Seth Appert's thoughts on last night's loss to the Florida Panthers and how things have kind of turned. The Sabres look like a better team than they did earlier in the year. Last night's game, you know, Joe and I are both all right with it for the most part. We'll see what Paul says next. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us on WGR.
Power at the line, keeps it in, slides it across to the net. Well, the Jets scores! That was a delicious finish by the captain. Rasmus Dahlin ties the game at 2.
A nice finish there from Rasmus Dahlin. One of the moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. The Sabres fall to the Florida Panthers 5-2. Homestand continues with the Islanders up next on Friday. Red Wings after that, Senators. So winnable games here. This was the toughest of the next four, and the Sabres battled from down 2-0 to tie it at 2-2 and then ultimately lost. Paul Hamilton joining us in a moment to give a recap and his thought on it. Before we get to that, let's mix a call in here as we're waiting for Paul. Zach in North Tonawanda. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Hey, just going back to your point that you were talking about seeding before, hypothetically, if the Chiefs get the one seed, does Mahomes get the MVP? I think it's kind of the opinion of the league. He's, like, not playing good. I mean, he still has more interceptions and touchdowns. But, like, you know how it always goes to the one seed, the quarterback of the one seed. So it would be kind of funny to see the parameters change for Mahomes.
Well, thanks, Zach. It would be a true test. There's also another one seed. Like, if it's Detroit, is it Goff? It very well could be.
I think my least favorite thing about the MVP right now, and I think it's true, is that we're just counting the standings. That's all we're doing. We're just counting wins. Who's the quarterback on the best team? That's the MVP. There's no further analysis.
That's what it has really turned into. Again, but there are 2-1 seeds. And right. You could also win it on a 2 seed. I mean, last year it's Lamar.
Like, to me, the door should be open to, I don't know, we'll find an example of this. A quarterback that's on a horrible team that drags them to 10 wins and is the 6th seed. To me, that player should be eligible to win the MVP, and I feel like he's not right now.
No, yeah, there's no chance. I mean, A-Rod won MVP in baseball on a losing team.
Okay.
Which, do you feel like that should happen? Probably not.
There probably has to be some minimum set. I just don't think the minimum should be you have to win 12, 13 games and be like the 1 or the 2 seed. Like, there's no path for...
Who's the answer here?
I'm looking for the example of this. There's been examples in the past of this. The name I'm thinking of is J.J. Watt for this, even though he's not a quarterback.
He should have won the MVP.
He should have won the MVP, yep. But they were the 5 seed or something, 6 seed, and he didn't win it.
Paul Hamilton joining us. His appearance brought to you by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, Paul, if you'd like to spend 30 seconds on the Yankees, I will...
I don't know if you will.
I'll open... I might like him, too.
Yeah,
I'll open the floor if you want to just, you know, get some shots in.
Hey, they're getting what they deserve. I mean, nobody has shown up, so when your whole team... I mean, you play great during the regular season and the whole team doesn't show up for the World Series. I mean, you're getting exactly what you deserve.
Yeah, who are Yankee fans the most mad at? Because I have a few Yankee fan friends and I feel like it's pretty evenly split between maybe Judge or Boone.
Yeah, Boone. It just seems like every decision is just not right and doesn't work out for him. But even if he does make the right decisions, guys still aren't coming through. I mean, Judge is you know, one of the best players the Yankees have ever had, and then he gets to the playoffs and just nothing. I mean, he looks like a Triple-A player. I mean, it's just, you know, you've heard me say many times, your best players have to be your best players when, yep, when you're in these situations. And for the Yankees, it's not even close when it comes to that.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. All right, Paul, so with regard to the Sabres last night, Sabres and Panthers, Joe and I kind of had the same vibe coming out of the game, which was, and I feel like I joked, that a step along the way to becoming just, you know, like a normal, regular fan base that doesn't freak out all the time because the drought is so long. There are games you lose where you're like, well, all right, you know, hey, didn't go their way. There are reasons and there are things to clean up. But all in all, as a Sabres-Panthers game goes, that team has pushed the Sabres around for a couple of years. And last night I felt like the Sabres had a lot of pushing themselves.
Yeah, they did. And yeah, they lost, but, you know, when the season started, you need to say, okay, let's take a look at October. Boy, they play the Panthers twice and Dallas once. And he came out of that 2-1. I would have signed up for that, you know, to sit there and say you're playing those two teams three times and you're going to come out of it 2-1. Yeah, okay, I'm in, you know, so – that's exactly what they did. And this game, as Lindy Ruff said afterwards, this game was there for him.
Yeah.
But he goes, we just weren't good enough to do it this time. And I know it's driving him insane. The penalties that this team takes, and this is the one thing that, you know, they've listened to Lindy Ruff, and they've, you know, for the most part, played pretty good hockey for him, and they've changed some of their habits, as you said. They don't get pushed around as much. That's one of the things. There's a lot of things, you know, they do much better now under Lindy Ruff. But the thing they just cannot get through their heads is this penalty thing. They take the dumbest penalties, and they're near the top of the league in taking penalties, and it just killed them against the Stanley Cup champions. I mean, they took the first three penalties of the game, gave up one power play goal. And then your captain, with 7 minutes left, takes that penalty? Really? What is wrong with you? It looks like he just got lost his head and got mad and takes that kind of a penalty with 7 minutes left and you're down one goal. And, of course, they score the power play goal, and that's that. You're done. And the thing is, they had gotten themselves back into the game. They got down by two goals, and usually with Florida, you get down two goals to Florida, you're done. You're not coming back. But they did. You know, they figured it out. They did. They tied the game. And, you know, they were down, 3-2. But still, you know, get a point out of that game. That's, you know, the thing we talked about for how many years now. Get a point out of that game. They're not too good at getting those loser points. And, you know, figure it out. You can at least get a point out of it. Get it to overtime. See what happens. Maybe you can get the second point, you know, type of situation. Now, the other thing that came, now I haven't seen this year. This is something new in this game, is they gave up two different goals by two guys going to one. And they don't do that. That's not a habit of theirs. And what I mean by that is, you know, the reason they gave up the first power play goal was Dahlin's in front of the net with Reinhardt. And Samuelson's in good shape with Barkov, you know, coming around the wall behind the net. Samuelson's got him perfectly. Samuelson did nothing wrong on this thing. Dahlin decides that he needs to come behind the net with Samuelson. Why? What? And he just leaves Reinhardt, a 57-goal scorer, by himself in front of the net. And Barkov, and it wasn't Samuelson's fault, makes just a gorgeous pass. He pulls it to his backhand and throws it out in front to Reinhardt, and it's in the net before anybody even knows what happens. And it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand why you thought you needed to go behind the net and have two guys behind the net on one when you're killing a penalty. Okay, you did it one time. They did it later on the game-winning goal. You know, so you got Thompson coming back. He's with Verhaeghe as the wide man, and he slides into the middle of the ice in the slot area to one of the Panthers that's covered by another one of the Sabres. I don't remember which one was with him. And then Tkachuk takes the shot. Lukanen makes the save. And Verhaeghe standing there all by himself for the rebound and puts it in. It's like, again, why you guys slide? The guy you're sliding to is covered. You didn't need to go over there. Why did you leave your guy? And that's not something they do. It's not something I've seen in Noob at all. And they did it twice in that one game. So between the penalties and that, that cost them two goals, plus the penalties cost them two goals. There's your game. I mean, you just can't make those kind of mistakes against the Stanley Cup champions.
How about goaltending as well, Paul? I mean, Lukanen, I don't think he's been great right now. And, you know, a new contract and commitment and money, like it feels like you got the job as the starter. And I just don't think he's been sharp yet. And Levi, of course, off the bench, last time he played was not very good either. Like they could really use someone to help them get through some of these squirrely moments.
I think there have been a couple of games where he was excellent. I wouldn't say he was excellent in that game. But Lindy Ruff really bristled when somebody brought up goaltending. He goes, the goaltender didn't get caught up ice. This game it all wasn't in goaltending at all. He goes, the goaltender didn't get caught up ice. And he got really mad when somebody even said that. I looked at, coming into the game, he had won those three games in a row. In those three games, he had a .924 save percentage. You know, where he won the three in a row. He had a 2.33 goals against and a .924 save percentage. I'll take that. But I wouldn't say he's been awful, but like last night, on the two-on-one to start the game, he was too far. To me, it looked like he was too far back in his net, and didn't give himself a chance to come out and make a big save. The shorthanded goal the other night by the Red Wings. Again, he I'm looking for a big save there. Yeah, I know Darlene made a bad pass, but came down and I just looking for a big save there. The Blackhawk game, same thing. It was. I remember saying to Brian in that game, I don't think he was bad, but I don't think he was great either. You know, it was just, but he got him through it. He made a bunch of big, good, some really good saves at the right time to help them get through that game and win that game. So I don't think he's overall been where he was last year. The one game was real. The Pittsburgh game, yeah, that was the one that you both your goaltenders on that trip. Well, the Pittsburgh game for him and the Columbus game for Levi, neither one played well at all. I kind of thought maybe Levi would have played against Florida last night because he had beaten them. And, as he said, Lukanen's game against Detroit, it wasn't bad. But it wasn't fantastic either, you know. It's kind of was in the middle range type of a game. So overall, no, I think you're right. I don't think he's been as good as he was last year. But as I said, the three games coming in, he had a .924 save percentage, and that, I'll take that anytime.
Paul Hamilton, as we break down last night's game, let's do Eye on the Blue and Gold, who Paul will be keeping an eye on. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Paul, any single player here you're noticing good things, bad things? You know, something to keep an eye on here.
I'm going to be keeping an eye on their penalty box because I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what Lindy Ruff can do. It's not like he can sit the whole team. You know, and again, Rasmus Dahlin. He is not himself at all. He's just not. I mean, look at the goal he scored. That was a nice goal. Hard-working goal. That's a Rasmus Dahlin play right there. But You know, when he leaves the front of the net to go to the cover somebody who's already covered, that's not a Rasmus Dahlin play. That penalty, just a frustration type penalty. You know, when your team's down a goal with 7 minutes left, that's not Rasmus Dahlin. So, you know, they need better from their captain. Their captain can't be doing these types of things, and he just seems like he's playing out of frustration right now. And you know, I still don't think he's 100%, but I don't think injury had anything to do with decision making that he made in that game.
Next up, the Islanders on Friday. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Good luck to the Yankees extending the series, maybe keeping things alive. You never know. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline recapping last night's Sabres game. Seth Appert will join us coming up top of the hour as we go behind the bench. Howard picks the Bills, 8:30. More your calls as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR. Hey, good morning. Something to monitor for next week, Bills-Colts. So Bills-Dolphins this week, then Bills-Colts. Shane Steichen did not commit to Anthony Richardson being his starting quarterback. So Richardson took himself out of the game because he ran around a bunch and tapped out, and they ran the ball on the third down and kicked. Asked if he's the starting quarterback, he said right now today he is, yes. But you don't know if he's starting quarterback for the upcoming game? We're evaluating. Richardson and the Colts play at Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Flores blitzes the hell out of everyone.
Yep.
Richardson on the road, blitz heavy at Minnesota before the Bills.
Might be Flacco.
It might be Flacco by the time the Bills go to Indy, which would be, well, whatever. But something to keep an eye on. Bills Dolphins, of course. Tua coming to town. He thanked Bills Mafia for all their donations to his foundation after his concussion. Said a lot of support from NFL fans, and a special thanks to Bills Mafia, which is not the first time Bills Mafia has donated to his foundation.
I feel like that's happened before.
And it's not the first time he's thanked them. So, you know, friendly rivalry and a thanks from Tua. 803-0550. We'll go behind the bench, chat some Sabres with Sabres assistant coach Seth Appert coming up, and get Howard picks the Bills after that as well. All coming up here on WGR.